Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call. Let's get this screen going. All right, I want to talk about tonight is reducing sugar. I got to cover this stuff pretty regularly, right? Because we're surrounded by sugar, and so you know, anytime you want to lose weight, anytime you want to master your health, sugar is one of the main kind of culprits right now. You know, if not the main one, you know, this and flour are two of the big guys. So we're going to talk a little bit about sugar tonight. So I thought this quote's the appropriate one, right? We're never deceived. We deceive ourselves. And with sugar, this is the case. So we're going to approach it with that kind of perspective here. We start out, you know, sugar is not your friend. And this is one of the hardest things about it in our culture, because we're so indoctrinated into thinking about sugar as this harmless, benign, friendly, fun, exciting, childlike thing, that we unconsciously, very intentionally, associate sugar as being this friendly, fun thing. And I think it's inescapable in our culture. So again, it's just there. And so we have to figure out a way to deal with it, because again, it's it can be a real, real problem, you know, to your health. It is a drug, and I do mean this literally, and we have to look at it this way. Again, I'm not, spoiler alert, the solution is not that you can never eat sugar. Okay, so I just want to put your mind at ease here. This isn't about never eating sugar again, but certainly you need to come up with a strategy of how much sugar you're going to allow yourself to eat. And then the way you're going to be able to execute that strategy is that you're going to have to change the way that you think about it. And so I want you to start thinking about it as a drug, because now, you know, it's one thing just to say that. And I've been saying it's a drug for a long time. But now they've got fMRI machines, and they've tested the effects that sugar has on the brain. And it literally lights up the same areas of the brain, not all of them, but a lot of the same areas that cocaine does. Okay, so literally, it has this neurological effect on us that is very drug-like. And if you add on top of that the fact that the frame that's been put around sugar is that it's so harmless, right? It's starting to change now, don't get me wrong. But for most of our lives, sugar has been this harmless thing. And in most of our lives, that's what dictates the frames that we put around things. Okay, so again, when I say it's a drug, again, I don't mean you can't ever do it, but I'm saying you got to treat it with respect. You really need to look at this and understand what you're dealing with here. This is a substance that when you do it, doing it causes you to want to do more of it, right? Clearly, it makes being healthy much harder, because it literally makes your brain act differently. It triggers cravings within your body. And of course, things that are sugary this day and age, they're not good for our health anyways. Right. So again, the sugar is within, it has other ingredients in it that aren't helping us out, you know, on top of just the sugar, and that's not helpful. So, again, if you're really serious about your health, if you're really serious about your weight, you've got to get this area, figured out. It's not natural, right? So this is another key one. Again, we're reframing. A lot of this lesson here is really about reframing, thinking about it differently. And sugar, a lot of times we tend to think, okay, well, sugar's natural. Well, listen, everything's relative, right? So again, if sometimes we think of like chemicals or additives or preservatives, and we say, well, that's not natural. Well, sugar's natural. It's sugar cane and just comes from the ground. Well, yeah, it comes from sugar cane or beets, but it's highly, highly refined. It's as unnatural as cocaine is, right? Even though cocaine comes from coca leaves, so well, that's natural. No, it's super refined and processed. And so what happens is when you super refine and process things is it creates a different substance that affects you differently. And again, you're going to hear me reference cocaine a couple times, because there's some very stark similarities. Again, if you chew on a coca leaf, you will get some of those effects, but it won't be that concentrated instant effect that powdered cocaine gives you, because it's not as concentrated. It's not designed for that. If you chew on, you know, sugar cane, or if you eat a sugar beet, yeah, you're going to get some of that sweetness on the sugar, but it's bound to the fiber. Again, it's literally a different substance before and after it's been processed. Okay, so again, the processing of it and the concentrated nature of it is one of the things that makes it so dangerous. And so again, as I said, you know, it's not about avoiding it completely. You know, so I want to be clear, because remember, one of the core philosophies we talk about in Program Yourself Thin is that This is about improving the quality of your life. And so if you never eat sugar again, right, you go to birthday parties and you have special events and you never eat any sugar, that's probably going to decrease the quality of your life. Okay, so this isn't about never eating sugar. It's about looking at it differently. And again, this is where the drug analogy may break a little bit, because we don't tend to think of casual cocaine users. But let's kind of now attach it to like alcohol. Again, even cigarettes, you know, I mean, people tend to get carried away with them, but cigarettes, alcohol, you know, things like this, where maybe you're going to drink once in a while, but you treat it with respect because you understand that's going to have an effect on you. You don't want to get carried away with it. And so this is part of how you want to shift the way that you think about sugar so that it becomes a occasional treat, right? Something that you occasionally do, or when you do it, you are intentionally, you know, eating less of it. Okay. And you're cutting out, again, you can't have, and it's very easy. We all know this. It's very easy to start your day with a bunch of sugar and basically just maintain that sugar high all day into the night. It's very easy to do that in our culture. And so we have to change the way we're perceiving it. It's not this benign substance that really doesn't do much and it's fun and kids eat it and all the rest of it. It truly is just eating away and eroding at your foundation of your health. And so we want to change the way we think about it. You can still do it, but you want to have a very kind of serious frame around it so that when you're going to do it, it's kind of a special occasion. You're limiting the quantities of it and you're not doing it all the time. And now, of course, anytime that we're looking to change something, and sugar's like this. So again, I want you to just relax when we're talking about this. And I don't want you to freak out. Okay. Again, I'm using some very kind of dramatic language and concepts here. But at the same time, I want to be clear, because I've said that I think of sugar almost as cocaine. I do. However, I still eat sugar regularly. I've cut my consumption way down, but I still consume it daily. And so I want you to understand. So I'm, on one hand, I'm saying, oh, it's like cocaine. On the other hand, I'm saying, well, I do it almost every day. Okay, so I'm not doing cocaine every day, and I never would. So again, I want you to understand that there's kind of two thoughts happening at the same time. This is not a comfortable kind of thing, right? Because it's called cognitive dissonance, right? Where we're holding these two thoughts. Well, if it's bad cocaine, you should never do it, right? And so again, this goes back to that gray space paradigm that we talk about. It's not black or white, okay? The sugar is very addictive. It's very unhealthy for your body. And at the same time, it's a part of our life and it's fun, right? Again, it tastes good. And there's good stuff to it too when it's used in moderation, it's used appropriately, okay? And so this is a kind of complex subject, and I don't want you to freak out and be like, that's, I can never eat sugar again. And then you try and cut it out and then you get so overwhelmed, you know, it doesn't work. I want you to be persistent with it. Again, you're consistently cutting it out, reducing, replacing with the sugar. But at the same time, it's a process. You need to be gentle with yourself because it's a challenge. Again, it's so hardwired into us to think about it in such a benign way where, again, it just gets hard to stop doing it all the way. So I want you to be gentle with yourself. This is a process of kind of reframing that takes some time. All right. And so be gentle with yourself. This isn't a all or nothing thing long term. Most of us have done it where we say, okay, it's a no sugar for, you know, this week, this month, this year, even. But sometimes it can feel like a white knuckle thing. And we almost always at some point need some sugar. Okay. So please be gentle with yourself. So let's talk a little bit about the effects of sugar. And again, the purpose here is just so you can think of it differently. Because again, as I said, the frame around it our whole lives has been that it's very childlike, you know, and fun and all this positive, you know, stuff. It's like a present. It's all these things are wrapped up in it. So I want to flip around and show you some of the legit real effects of it, so we can think about it differently. We never hear this stuff. So again, as I was saying, it triggers a lot of the same parts of our brain that drugs will. And specifically, it releases opioids and dopamine, okay, which really activates the brain's pleasure centers. And so, again, just real quick, so you can understand this, again, you're always looking to create a line from how do we get to this place? Well, back in a natural setting, where did you get sugar? It was basically from fruits. And so fruits are around for a short period of time. And so when the fruit was there, it made sense for our brain to go bonkers for it. And what that did is it triggered our brain to say, keep eating it, right? Because it was only around for a short period of time. And there was a lot of calories that you could get, right? So again, evolutionarily, it makes a lot of sense you know, that we would kind of evolve to have our brain literally encourage us to overeat sugar. Okay. Because in a natural environment, that's going to, support our survival. All right. But now we're in a different situation. So again, it does activate the brain's pleasure centers, and that's the reason why. And so again, it encourages overeating of the sugar. Next thing, where are we at here? Here we go. Okay. Another effect, that it has on you is it changes your taste. All right. And so, what that means is that, and this is a real big one, it's a subtle one, but very, very big, is that what it does is that it makes it harder to eat well. Okay. Because you get, your tongue is always calibrating. You know, this is a very important point to understand. Now we all have got, there's literally classifications of tasters, right? And so they kind of break them up into three classifications: people that taste really well, people that taste average, and people that don't taste much at all. Okay. So these are hardwired into us. However, within all three of those groups, they can all be manipulated and influenced. Okay. And so if you're eating lots and lots of sugar, you're calibrating your taste to want more sugary foods. And you're going to find that your cravings follow along with that. And you start to crave more sugary foods. Again, it leads to obesity for a number of reasons. When you eat lots of in type 2 diabetes. Now, again, obesity is one of the main indicators of type 2 diabetes. All right. So if you're obese, your chance of getting type 2 diabetes goes way up. If you have type 2 diabetes and you want to do as much as you can to kind of cure it, one of the main things they're going to tell you is to lose some weight. Okay. So there's a strong relationship between those two. And the sugar has a huge impact on both of them. Okay. Because what the sugar does is it goes into your body and it spikes your blood sugar, right? Because again, it's very, very refined, right? So there's no fiber. There's nothing slowing the absorption down, as opposed to, you know, even if you eat a piece of fruit, right? And again, we're talking kind of slightly different types of sugar here, but you get the point. You eat a piece of fruit, the sugar in that is bound to the fiber. And so it takes longer for it to kind of break apart and you'll be absorbed by your body. When you're eating sugar, regular table sugar, it's going right into your bloodstream very, very quickly. And what that does, again, is it spikes your glucose levels, and then that triggers your body to create more insulin. And so, again, the insulin, what that does is it basically clears the glucose out of your blood. And it does that by telling the cells in your body to open up. Let's store the glucose in the cells, okay? And if you're doing this all the time, right? So if you're spiking your blood sugar multiple times a day by eating a lot of sugar, you are leading yourself to become insulin resistant, right? Because eventually your cells just get, they get resistant to all this insulin if you're constantly flooding your body with it. Okay. So again, these are intricately related, and heart disease is the same thing. Again, you have to understand, I didn't put it this way in this slide here. Basically what's happening is this sugar is it's creating an inflamed body. Let's just think of it that way. Because again, in nature, you couldn't even consume this much sugar. Like I said, even if you ate all that fruit, it's different. Okay. So again, there was no sugar like there is now in this powder form. And so when we're constantly, and again, this is where it kind of comes back to the cocaine. If you're constantly putting this powder into your body, it's creating a chain reaction in your body and it's throwing your body all out of whack. You are spiking your glucose levels. And again, as soon as you spike your glucose levels, right following that is you're spiking your insulin levels, right? And again, after spikes come crashes, right? So then you're getting tired. And then you're getting really on a roller coaster cycle of spiking sugar, crashing. Your body craves more energy. And so it wants to eat more sugar. Okay. So again, it's a vicious cycle. We know about cavities, right? And so I think that's like the one thing people think about with sugar, and that's great. And cavities are terrible, right? So sugar is not good for your teeth. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about the effect it has on your teeth, because you can see that. And I want you to kind of associate some of that effect into your body. Okay. It's having as dire effect on the inside of your body that you can't see. Right. And it's contributing. And again, it's a foundational thing for a lot of these other diseases. Certain cancers literally are linked to sugar consumption, for increased wrinkles, again, in fatigue, right? And so how the fatigue, again, it's that spike, crash, spike, crash, spike, crash, spike, crash process over and over and over and over again. Okay. So these are all literally things that sugar is affecting. Okay? And I'm not saying it's causing all these, but it's certainly contributing. And it's just Yeah, I was like, you'd never put sugar in your gas tank, right? Because it'd ruin your car. But that's actually an interesting way to kind of think about what's doing in your body, is to not just think about your teeth, but to really start to think about how it's affecting the whole system, right? A whole system source, you know, effect it's having on you. So, okay, let's talk a few kind of hidden sugar sources. Because again, once you get to the point, you say, okay, geez, I got to cut down sugar. And again, I want to be clear. If you, I'm telling you, I can almost guarantee you, I can almost guarantee that like 30, 40% of your sugar intake, you don't even realize it. Like you don't even realize you're consuming the sugar. It's like this. So again, we want to become clear on this, because sometimes those are where you want to start, right? It's not, you don't want to get rid of the dessert you're eating or the cookies maybe, but maybe there's other places in the day where you're consuming sugar that you didn't even realize it, right? And so that's where we want to start with kind of weeding that out and program that out of us. What is going on here? Yeah, slides are acting weird. Oh, sorry, you just saw this. And we're stuck. All right, well, hold on. Let me. There we go. Hidden sugar sources. All right, we're not getting that. Okay, well, let's do this way. See if this works. No, it's not going to show. Okay, I don't know what is going on here. You know what? Let me do this. Where there's a will, there's a way. So, all right, so, excuse me. So, all right, so sugar, recommended sugar intake, right? We got 150 calories a day, excuse me, or 37 grams or 9 teaspoons, right? So, again, however you want to visualize it, right? And so for women, it's 100 calories per day. Now, I want to be clear that the World Health Organization at this point suggests half of that. All right. So just so you know, so think about what that means. Okay. So again, that may seem like a lot. And this, by the way, is where I want you to calm down. Okay. And relax, because this is what I mean. This can seem daunting at first. It can seem overwhelming very quickly. Right. You could very easily be consuming 500 calories a day in sugar. And then you look at this and like, oh my God, that's too much. I'll never make that. Relax. Okay. Let yourself experience this information. Stay calm and relaxed. Again, everything is small steps here, and be impatient. Okay. So again, the World Health Organization suggests half of that. And so where I want you to do is, again, the first step is really just appreciating where you're at with this. Right. And so, you know, tomorrow, just start to get a ballpark of where, how much sugar are you consuming on average? And again, just a ballpark. It doesn't mean you don't have to track every little thing. You know, who wants to do that? But just start to get an idea. You know, what typical things are you eating that you, where there's sugar in it? And see if you can give yourself a sugar intake kind of ballpark. All right. And then compare it to this year. And again, I mean, right, because this is the scary part. One can of Coke is your sugar for the day. American recommended sugar for the day, right? And so again, if you were looking at the World Health Organization, you're just one can of Coke, a 12-ounce can of Coke, you're already double what they're recommending, right? So again, I don't want you to freak out about this. What's going on with my voice? So again, top sources of sugar, soda is one of the top ones, right? I mean, soda is literally sugar water. It is what it is. Okay, so I'm not telling you to drink it or don't drink it, but understand what you're doing is you're drinking sugar water. And that's the first step to changing it, is to stop. Soda's just a word that really hides what it actually is, right? So we think of soda, we think of all the commercials we've seen, the cultural understanding and implications of what soda is. But when we really look at it, actually, you rub your lenses, right? You got these glasses on and they're all gunked up. You can't see through them. You clean that off. And what happens is that you realize it's sugar water, right? So that's one of the top ones. Baked goods. Again, there's just tons and tons of sugar in it. And again, with baked goods, what you're getting is a twofer, because you're getting the sugar and you're getting the flour, right? Candy, obviously, we all know that one. That one's the easy one. And ice cream's an easy one, you know, to notice. So those are the top sources of it. But the hidden sources of it really is almost anything that's processed. Like literally, if it's in a box or a bag, almost without question, it is got more sugar in it than you realize. And then you think about it. Okay. So what you really have to do, again, you've heard me say this before, but it's so important. You have to become like a food detective, right? You've got to study these labels. You have to become, kind of fluent in what they're saying and what these foods have in them. All right. You want to start to understand daily recommended values. You want to understand, again, serving sizes, the amount of sugar that's in this, how much sugar is in it, and then how much added sugars with it. Okay. And again, it's not something you have to go crazy with, but just let it start to be something that you do. Because again, I'm telling you, for so many people, they're like, well, I don't even eat sugar. They always think that because like, I don't really drink soda. I don't really eat that many baked goods, the candy and ice cream. I don't really eat that. And that's great. But I'm telling you, a lot of times it's sneaky. I'll tell you, one of the ones I always think is crazy to me is I got these pretzel. They're flat like pretzel chips. So they're like pretzels, but they're just flat. And so I was looking at the ingredients in that. I just do it. It's a habit. And there was sugar in it, right? Like the fourth ingredient. I was like, good Lord. It's like I would have never imagined pretzels would have had sugar in it. But this is what I mean. It's in so many things. And so that's like the saddest part, though, because if there's nothing worse than if you're really like you're cutting the candy down, you're cutting the ice cream down, and you're still ingesting lots of sugar, that stinks. So allow yourself to begin to recognize what you're putting in your mouth and specifically what the sugar levels are in it. Okay. And again, we want to go back to changing your sugar perception. Recognizing the marketing. Okay. And I think this is key because where I associate where sugar is going to go, I believe in the next 10 years, 15 years, I hope, and I think we're starting to see some of this. It's going to be very much like cigarettes. Where cigarettes, they knew they were really bad and they covered it up and they did it intentionally. And I think sugar's like a million times bigger than this, in a sense. And so again, I want you to start to recognize the marketing. It is so cynical and manipulative. And I want you to associate the sugar marketing, especially candy, sodas, really dessert type stuff. I want you to recognize it's just like cigarettes and that it is really framing something that's very harmful to your success in a positive, glowy frame, right? So again, you get a lot of youth stuff, a lot of energy, right? I mean, sodas are like that a lot, right? Especially and they get it even within sodas, like Mountain Dew is the real energy, Red Bull energy drinks, all that, tons of sugar. But again, what they're selling is energy. They're selling youth. They're selling celebrity. You understand? And so that's how you have to see it because again, and what I always do, anytime I see a commercial for, again, almost anything food related, is in my mind when I'm watching it, I'm literally got a parallel track going, oh man, how much sugar's in that? This is manipulative. So I'm kind of seeing through the marketing to see what they're actually selling and what effect it would have on me. Okay. So favorite songs, right? They link their songs up to it. So again, you got this song you really like, you just really dig it. It means a lot to you. And all of a sudden they're attaching it to soda or to whatever, sugar product they're selling. You see what I mean? So again, as you do this, you kind of see through it. It makes it easier to say no to it. Cause again, don't get me wrong. There's a physical effect. There's a physical addiction quality to eating sugar. Okay. But I'm telling you, the bigger part of it is psychological. It's how you're thinking about it. And so if you start to think about it like cigarettes, like cocaine, it's going to help you kind of reduce it and remove it ideally. Reduce it down to a low, low level. Next one, right? Watch a video about how sugar is made. I found that really interesting. And I only did that a year or two ago. I'd never done that before because I promise you, you unconsciously think sugar is natural. And when you watch how it's made, you'll quickly realize that that there's a big difference between sugar cane and the sugar, that you buy at the supermarket. Okay. Just as much as there's coca leaves and there's cocaine. There's a huge processing that goes on and you wouldn't even be able to do it. That's how you would not even be able to make sugar. You could make sugar, but it wouldn't look like the sugar you eat. It wouldn't be so fine. It wouldn't be so crystallized. It wouldn't affect you the same way. Okay. So go watch that, right? That's a good one. Then, what else you can do is watch a video about type 2 diabetes, right? Look up some pictures about, cavities from sugar. Go watch one of those videos about the rust they take off with soda. You know what I'm saying? That's a great, great way to change the way that you feel about sugar and the way you think about it. Okay. It's very, very powerful. So again, there's hypnosis, and we do mental programming, we talk about that. But I'm telling you, watching documentaries, watching videos, you know, even the documentaries, don't get me wrong, sometimes they're factually a little squirrely. Who cares? You know, because we've been bombarded with ads that are totally bullshit. I mean, they're just lying to us. And we've had our whole lives, you know, inundated with that. So if you watch a documentary that's trying to show you how bad sugar is, if the facts are a little off, who cares? You're balancing the scales a little bit. Change your unconscious associations. This is always very helpful. What do you think the negative effects of sugar are on you? Okay, so again, and by the way, right, so we want to go a level deeper. Yeah, you know, sugar is not good for you, right? Oh, I shouldn't eat so much sugar. But that's not going to stop you long term, right? Because if in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, sugar's good, kids eat it, it's awesome, I've eaten it my whole life, it's fun, and da, 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 da. If that's what you associate to it, that's how you think about it, stopping yourself from eating is always going to be a challenge. Okay, so the real change always comes down from these unconscious association perceptions we have. And so apply them to yourself. You specifically, right? Are you diabetic or pre-diabetic? If you are, spend 15 minutes and research what sugar does to diabetes, how it affects you, what it does to you specifically. Okay, so again, the cavities is probably like one of the top things people think of with sugar. But the problem with cavities is that the cavities don't happen tomorrow. Right? They take years. And so what you want to do is you want to think to yourself, if I eat all this sugar now, I'm going to blast my insulin levels in the next few minutes. I'm going to make my body insulin resistance, right? And really think about, connect to that process and what's going on within you. Okay. And then move yourself into a future, you know, with too much sugar. If you continue to eat this much sugar, what effect is it going to have on you in the long term? Right? Just kind of imagine that. And again, if you're dealing with diabetes, go to what's one of the worst case scenarios of diabetes? Where does that end up? Your heart disease issues, you know what I mean? All these different things we talked about, go look into them. All right. And so let's talk about how to lower your sugar intake, right? So we've talked about the problems. We've talked about how to reframe it. And there's some simple strategies to lower your sugar intake. They can be pretty helpful. So the first one, you know, I'm a huge fan of it, is to drink more water, right? So again, this is going to help you because it does calibrate your tongue. The water's just plain, you know? So it's real easy that the more water you drink, your tongue just gets more natural. It gets more diluted and it starts to crave more plain flavors. It does improve brain function, drinking more water. So again, you're kind of combating some of the effects sugar has on you, and you're clarifying your brain function. And the clearer your brain's thinking, the easier it is to say no, you know, and to make the right choices of it. The one I like the most, again, we really want to focus on is programming in less sugar. And so again, this all starts before you can program in less sugar. You have to know where your sugar is coming from. Okay. So this really relies on paying attention to the nutrition labels, starting to know what's in the ingredients that you're eating. Okay. And so once you understand that, those are the subtle ones that are easier to change. And then there's obviously the big sugar habits that you may have. And so again, what you do is you want to identify them first, and then you want to think about what you'd rather do during those times. So again, we got reduce, replace, remove. And again, each one, it depends on what the situation is. At the very least, we want to reduce the amount of sugar, right? So if you usually eat 4 cookies, knock it down to 3, okay? Replace, you know, instead of eating cookies, you know, maybe you're going to eat, you know, a salad or, you know, some healthy snack that doesn't have much sugar in it. Remove, obviously, you just say no, I'm not going to eat sugar here at these times anymore. I'm not going to have that cookie in the afternoon anymore. Okay. So again, you have options. It's not just you have to do this. That's not going to work. What we want to do is we want to kind of switch it around a little bit and see if you can, you know, kind of mix it up a little, right? You're going to get some different options. But we're always thinking, what I want you to always think in your mind, though, the one thing that is constant, I'm always looking to lower the sugar. Right? That's the key. And so when you pick whatever you want to do, so it's again, let's say I used to eat a cookie in the afternoon, now I don't want to do it. Now what you want to do is you want to program that new behavior into your mind, run it through in your mind, right? Visualize yourself in that situation, see, think, and feel yourself in that situation acting the way that you want to, right? Kind of just kind of connect into it, tap into it. Notice how that feels. Feel yourself in that situation being the person you want to be. So you're kind of practicing it. So when you get into the situation, it makes it more likely. Okay. And then finally, visualize all the secondary benefits, you know, your health, your weight, your life, when there's less sugar. Okay. Because again, I'm just going to straight out say it. What you're doing is you're reducing or removing an addiction. And so again, you're going to have more energy because you don't have to worry about those spike crash, right? You get more natural energy. Your moods are balanced because again, you're not getting that spike crash. Healthier taste buds. And so again, sugar is one of the key ways to change your tastes. And so as you remove the sugar, your tongue gets more calibrated to natural flavors and you start to crave more natural flavors. You're able to appreciate those flavors more. Okay. And so it gets easier to eat more natural foods. All right. Better brain function. Again, your brain works better when it doesn't have this crazy rush of sugar and then insulin and then, you know, kind of recover from it. Right. So again, you have a more smooth sailing, better functioning brain. And then again, ultimately optimize body performance. There's less inflammation, less strain, less stress on your body and on the organs and the cells of your being. Okay. Everything just works better. And so that's how I want you to think about it. So again, we operate from, see, here's the key thing. So you say, okay, well, I'm eating this sugar here. What we typically tend to do is, okay, I can't eat sugar anymore. And that becomes 100% of our focus. I can't eat sugar. But that doesn't last long. That's not a good long-term strategy. What we want to do again is change the way we think about sugar, come up with alternatives for the sugar that we've been eating. And then ultimately we want to think about it, the big picture. And instead of focusing on, I can't eat sugar. In our minds, we want to be, I want to reduce my intake of sugar because I want to have more energy. I want more balanced moods. I'm tired of kind of being all over the place with my moods. I want my taste buds to crave healthy, natural foods that really nourish me and make me feel good, right? I want to have this optimized body performance. I want my body to not be inflamed, to just be able to operate the way it's meant to be naturally. I want to feel good. I want to slim down. I want my skin to clear up. I want to have a healthy glow. I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel proud. You see what I'm saying? That's the way we're always describing it. It's always, I want to stop eating sugar because, right? If we focus on, I got to stop eating sugar, we don't want to get problem oriented. And that's typically what ends up happening. We say, we want to start with the problem. Okay, I got to stop eating so much sugar. I want to stop eating so much sugar because over to the solution. And we want to spend all our time there because it feels better. I look better, all the rest of it. Okay. So I hope this helps you out. Again, I like to repeat this lesson every once in a while because the sugar is insidious. And once it's there, again, it creates the cravings, just like cigarettes create the cravings for smokers. The sugar creates the cravings. And so as you, again, you don't have to get it out completely, but as you lower it down and learn to live at a lower level of sugar, I think it's a real helpful thing to do because it supports all the other healthy things you want to do, including helping you obviously drop some weight. Okay. So, all right, everyone, very good. I will wrap it up here. Sorry, we had a little bit of technical issue there. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone.